It's time, my friends. So let's give the Lord a shout. Let's give the Lord a hallelujah. Amen to the Lord. We love Jesus. And plus, next week, we're going to be having baptism next week. So, man, we love to see white caps in the baptistry. And so if you have shared Christ and you know of people that need to be baptized or you want to be baptized, next week's the week for it. We've got a few folk that's prayed to receive Christ, and they're ready. And if you're ready, we're ready, and we'll have a blast next week. Yeah. Be great timing. Okay. I love you so much. This series is on communion. We just got this week, and I'll do a little short ministry about it next week, because next week's our testimony time as a church. It's our testimony Thanksgiving Sunday. And it's a Sunday we look forward to all year. Great testimony, what all God's done all year. And so that's next week. And so this sermon's very, very important, because I want you to see Jesus as your high priest. He wants you to know him as your high priest. And your high priest, your personal high priest, wants to minister communion to you. And when you see it personal, and you see the Lord ministering communion to you, it's very, very powerful. It's a great approach. It's an approach that honors the Lord. And so I'm excited to share this with you. You know, it's part of our theme year-round is that we tell you, put your focus on Jesus and see Jesus. When you're in the Word, see Jesus in the Word. When you're in prayer, see Jesus. Okay? Hey, look, when you're praising, see Jesus. I'll tell you what will change your praise life is when you begin to see Jesus on the throne in your imagination room, and you see him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see the elders bow down. And hey, I want to tell you, worthy is the King. And so when you're praising, why don't you try seeing him? When you're in the Word, why don't you practice seeing him? Hey, when you're in communion, why don't you practice seeing him and always put your focus on Jesus? You won't go wrong, you'll go right. Amen. And it's very, very powerful, simple principle, because the more you see what Jesus has done for you, the more you see what he's qualified you for. Not that you've qualified, but what he's qualified you for. And the more faith springs up within you. Anybody want that? Hey, and when faith springs up in you from seeing Jesus and focusing on Jesus, guess what? Breakthroughs happen. Anybody interested in a breakthrough? Well, Jesus is your high priest, and a high priest ministers to God representing the people. You get that? To God representing the people. That's what Jesus does for us. Your high priest qualifies you. Your works don't. He does. He qualifies you to partake and to receive every blessing. He qualifies you to receive every deliverance, because he's ministered the power over darkness, and you will receive deliverance from your high priest. Well, let's read about high priest in Scripture. You want to? Hebrews chapter 7. We're going to mention a number of times Melchizedek. And Hebrews 7 points this out. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem. King of Salem. Now let me tell you about the king of Salem. He's the king of Jerusalem. You see it? He's the king. Now you tell me. You see, a lot of people want to complicate this, want to get mysterious about it. I want to tell you, I think the Bible points to us over and over again, the evidence. See Jesus in the Word. And you'll see him. When you seek him in the Word, you'll see him. Who's the king of Jerusalem? Jesus is. And the Bible describes him right here, the king of Salem, of Jerusalem, and also the priest of the Most High God. Now, this is interesting, because in Scripture, you don't see a king and priest being the same person. No, no, no. That's not human capacity. The only capacity that's king and high priest is Jesus. Jesus is the only one. And he's referred to as Melchizedek in these scriptures. And it's a picture for the Jews to see and understand and know. It was a picture of the reality that was to come. And look at this. The king of Salem, the priest of the Most High, met Abraham as he returned from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. And Abraham worshiped him. Now, who deserves to be worshiped? Somebody say Jesus.
Jesus.
I'm telling you, he's your high priest and he's your king. And Abraham worshiped him. The giving of the tenth portion is a worship experience. Just like your giving today should be a worship experience. That's one of the things I get concerned about with the automatic giving over the computer and over the phone. Now, if you're doing that, please do. We need it. We're using it for the honor and glory of God. We're good soil for this. But I'm here to tell you, when you give, it needs to be worship. And Abraham worshiped. Look at this. He is, speaking of Melchizedek, as his name, when translated, indicates, it gives you a clue here who he is. He's the king of righteousness. Now let me ask you, who's the king of righteousness?
Jesus.
He's the king of righteousness. And then he's also the king of Salaam, which means peace. He's the king of peace. And so who's our peace? Jesus. Who's our righteousness? Jesus. And look at this. Without record of father or mother or ancestral line. In other words, he's not human. He's God. Look at this. Neither from the beginning of days. Who's the only one that's God. Neither from the beginning of days nor the ending of life. You cannot declare his start or his end because he's forever. He's eternal. He's God. But representing the Son of God. Representing the Son of God. And they had no concept of the Son of God. All right, we do. We're Monday morning quarterbacking. They had no concept. But it's declared what they saw him as. Resembling the Son of God. And he continues to be a priest without interruption, without successor. He is the king and the priest forever. I hope you see that. It should be easy to see. Don't make it too complicated. Don't make it too mysterious. Don't think you have to figure it out with your human reasoning mind. He's a king. He's a high priest. He's the most high God. King of peace. King of righteousness. He's forever. Not of the Levi tribe. All the high priests came from Levi. Hey, the law came from Moses. This is speaking of a completely different high priest. He's not connected to the human, traditional, law-giving tribe of Levi. He is the high priest of grace. He's from New Testament, showing up in the Old Testament. Do you get it? He's the high priest of grace. That shows up in the Old Testament. You say, well, Brother Tim, you mean Jesus showed up in the Old Testament? Yes, he did. He showed up here as Melchizedek. He showed up in the Old Testament in a number of ways, a number of times, where he shows up. And I love this about him. Now, look at this. Verse 4 says this. Now, observe and consider how great a person, a being, that this was to whom even Abraham, the patriarch, gave a tent, worshipped him with all the spoils from the battle. And it's true, and this is what I was telling you about Levi, but he's not a descendant of Abraham. This person, verse 6 says, this person has not their Levitical ancestry. He received tithes from Abraham himself. He received the offering, and he blessed. So, look. Melchizedek, Jesus himself placed a blessing on Abraham. And he declared that Abraham had already received the promises of God by faith. Now, I want to tell you, that's something that God does. And I want to tell you, even though Abraham, if you would have interviewed him at that time, he'd have said, I don't even have any heritage. But I want to tell you what God said. God said, you're blessed. And I want to tell you the way God is. And this is a key to understanding Melchizedek. It's a key because you know what? God speaks to what is not seen with the physical eye and declares it that it is. And it is. When he speaks it, it's done. It's true in the invisible, and it will be revealed in the visible. Do you see that? Well, that's one of the ways of God. So we need to understand that that's true, and that that's one of the ways of God. And so it is without question, verse 7 says, that the greater, which is Jesus Melchizedek, blessed Abraham. Because if you were to speak to any Jew or any person that looked back, they would consider Abraham is the father of faith. No, there was one greater. What's his name? His name is Jesus. And I want to tell you, Jesus blessed Abraham. And he's the greater. He has, see, this is what verse 7 is saying. The greater has the power to bless the lesser. And if you'd have said to anybody, Abraham's the lesser, then what? But it's Jesus. So today we celebrate the King. He left heaven to come and serve, to be the sacrificial lamb that takes away the sin of the world, to show us Father, because the religion of that day had polluted the view of Father. They didn't know Father. He came to show us Father. Jesus showed us Father's heart. He showed us Father's love. He showed us Father's compassion for people. He served. Here's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He came to serve. He loved on the unlovely. He gave forgiveness. He gave healing. The Bible says there's healing in his wings. He went about doing good in all the villages, and he healed. And so he restored. He's the God of restoration. He made great, unbelievable, miraculous provision. He's our protection. Jesus is the great I am. He's more than enough. Someone say he's more than enough. And he never changes. He's the same for you. His heart is for you. And so you need to see that the high priest, your high priest Jesus, has compassion for you. He cares for you. Even while he was on earth, he girded himself with a towel. Here's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, girded himself with a towel, and he washed the disciples' feet. That was a lowly place of service, but yet he loved. He washed their feet because he was loving on them. Jesus loves ministering to you, and he loves loving on you in little ways and big ways. That's the heart of the Lord. God sent his son to die for our sins. His son became our sin. I didn't say he was a sinner, but our sin was poured out upon him. He became our sin offering. God's wrath and punishment was poured out on Jesus. His holiness punished the Lamb of God. And God as Father, when he turned his back on his son, he wept. And I want to tell you something from the heart of Father. He never loved Jesus more. The sin offering is called the most holy offering. I shared with you last week how the sun refused to shine during that time. But see, Jesus won grace for you. He is righteous, and it's his right as righteousness to give you his righteousness. And that's what happens when you accept Christ. And so listen with your heart. He's our King. He's our Lamb. He's the Son of God. He's also the Son of Man. He's the High Priest. See, you see, there's all kind of pictures here to show you Jesus. He's our righteousness, the King of righteousness. He's the King of peace. He's our grace. He's our shepherd. And he's forever our shepherd. Amen. And we are forever his sheep if you've accepted him. Is that great news? Yeah. Hebrews 5, let's look at that. Hebrews 5, verse 1. For every high priest chosen among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in things relating to God. Do you see that? To offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. He's able to exercise gentleness. You see, this is a requirement for a high priest. He's able to exercise gentleness and forbearance toward the ignorant and the erring, since he himself is liable to moral weakness and physical infirmity. Verse 4 says this, besides, one does not appropriate for himself the honor of being a high priest. In other words, you don't just decide this and run for office. This is something that's appointed by God, chosen by God. but he's called by God and receives it of him just as Aaron did. So too Christ, the Messiah, did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed and exalted by him, by God the Father, who said to him, I reveal you as my son. And today I've begotten you. I reveal you as my son. See, this was new concept. He also says in another place, you are a priest appointed forever. Somebody say forever. After the order and the rank of Melchizedek. And so it's describing who he was and how he is. And in the days of his flesh, it's describing that, you see, a high priest has got to be able to sympathize with the people. And so, true enough, in the days of the flesh, when Jesus offered up definite, special petitions for that which not only he wanted but needed. And so I'm trying to explain to you that Jesus, even though he was God, he was also man, and he operated on this earth as we are to operate. Dependence on God and by the power of the Spirit. And so he had needs. And he prayed and received. And he suffered as a human would suffer through the emotions, the ups and downs, the ins and outs, the easy days, the hard days. Jesus, this was Jesus. And look at this. And supplications with strong crying. You see, when we read that from the Bible that Jesus was acquainted, he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Sometimes we just bypass that and look over that. But Jesus experienced strong crying and tears to him who was always able to save out from death. He was heard because of the reverence toward God. And so I want to tell you, because he honored God, he went through stuff that he had the power to just absolutely walk away from. You got to see that. Okay? Now, I'll tell you what. I am committed. It's coming. I've already been working on it. I'm doing a series next year on emotions because I have become absolutely... My cup runneth over in not a good way from hearing people complain and murmur through this season we've gone through. And we have so much to be thankful for. But I've heard so much fear. I've heard so much complaining and moaning and groaning and murmuring. And I want to tell you, that's not even to be the heartbeat of a believer. We have so much to be thankful for. And I want to tell you something. Jesus was living proof that even though he had and faced the same emotions that we faced, he was not ruled by his emotion. He ruled emotions. Amen. That's the series right there. Although he was a son, he learned active and special obedience through what he suffered. And his completed experience making him perfectly equipped, he became the author and source of eternal salvation to all those who give heed and obey him. Being designated and recognized and saluted by God, chosen by God as high priest after the order and the rank of Melchizedek. Now, I'm going to try to share this with you, and I don't have time to park on it. So try to catch this. You may want to listen to it over and over. We may want to deal with it later, because I'm going to do a series also next year on the high priest. I've had so much fun with this. There's more than what I can share today. Can you believe that? But it goes something like this. You see, the very next verse, I don't have it here. But the very next verse, the writer of Hebrews says, there's so much more on this I want to share, but you can't handle it. That's what he says. He says, you're shallow. This is some deep stuff, and you're too shallow to operate it. You're a little too dull. You're not sharp enough to grab it, because it gets in some deeper water. Now, ain't that interesting? I'm going to give you a little taste, okay? And it goes something like this. Abraham was counted righteous by God by his faith. Not by his works, by faith. He was righteous by faith. Now, you know what that sounds like? That sounds like New Testament grace. You mean tell you something? It is. Now, I want to tell you about Abram. You know what? He believed God. And he believed in God's plan. And he looked to eternity future, and he saw the cross, and he saw the purpose, and he saw the high priest, and he saw the Lamb of God, and he believed. And it was counted unto him as righteousness. Now, I want to tell you, that's New Testament. Toward the cross. And it's the same with anybody else in the Old Testament. For them to touch the faith of God, they saw forward to the cross. Now, I want to tell you, and this may be a little bit too simple for you. This is the way I explain it. There'll probably be some people, some scholars listening and laugh at this. But I see it like this, that Abraham and the Old Testament folk, they looked to the cross and they accepted righteousness on credit. By what was coming. By the works to be done. When we believe and accept and receive what Jesus has done, we're looking to the past. They were looking forward to the cross. We're looking from the cross, the finished works. And what it is for us is a gift card. We're operating by a gift card because it's already been paid. We just step up and receive it and accept it. And so it's a beautiful expression of faith either way. But I'm telling you, one of the ways that I want to explain this is that Melchizedek is the high priest Jesus from the future that came to the past and manifested himself to the man who believed, who the man who accepted him by faith. And he was the king of righteousness and the king of peace. And he ministered to Abraham, and Abraham worshiped him. And he was the high priest, the future Lamb of God that was present. And he came and manifested himself in the Old Testament. Now, is that a little too much for you? Well, let me share a little more then. Since you're so excited about that, let me share a little more. You see, God is not limited by time. We see things by the hour, by the calendar, by the year, by the decade, by the dispensation. I want to tell you, God's not limited by time. When he looks, he sees it all. It just looks like a parade going by. He can look up and see the start. He can look back and see the end. He can see all the in-between. And you know what? When he speaks, it's already done. Okay? Brother Young's literal translation, 1800s, he spent his lifetime studying the languages. And this is what he said. As a matter of fact, it was in his Bible and in his concordance. He says this. He says, in the Hebrew, there is no actual future tense. Isn't that interesting? No future tense. And the reason is because God's not limited by time. When he speaks, he says, it's done. It's done. You may not see it in the physical yet, but God sees it. And he's not limited by time. And he says, I speak, it's done. He takes what's not and speaks to what is. You understand? For example, he sees the Lamb of God, stripes beaten. And he says, by those stripes, you were healed. He speaks it as done. Now listen. For me to stand and say what God is saying, it would be like this. You know what? Tim Hall still needs some healing to manifest in his body. But you know what? Jesus has already paid for it 2,000 years ago. Wait! According to God, I was healed 2,000 years ago. Do you see that? Man, is that exciting? Does that kind of stir you up? I mean, it may not make sense between the ears, but you probably got the Holy Spirit saying yay and amen on the inside. And so there's no future tense in this. Look, forever, he honored Jesus as the high priest, and we get to receive it from the cross. So Jesus is representing us. He's our high priest. And in the history of Israel, and I want you to catch this, in the history of Israel, when the high priest was good, The people were blessed. Even when they were bad, they were blessed because the high priest was good. But if the high priest was bad, they suffered. Jesus is our high priest. When the high priest was bad, they were judged. When the high priest was good, they were blessed. Now I want to tell you, Jesus is our high priest. He's excellent high priest. We are blessed by his position. We have a blessed position because of his position. Do you see it? Okay. In number 16, we're going to see about Aaron, the high priest, and how he ministered. But just to explain what's happening in number 16, the people were murmuring and complaining and negative. And I want to tell you, God counts negative murmuring and complaining as an evil report. That's what he calls it. So, these people, because of their murmuring and complaining against God and spiritual leadership, God released a plague on the people. And they started dropping like flies. I mean, it was just like a wave. And people were dying quickly. Now, I want to tell you, let me just make this announcement. God's never changed his mind about murmuring and complaining and about negative mindset and negative attitude. He's never changed his mind. Now, he's not operating now after Christ like he did in the Old Testament before Christ. Okay? There was judgment and law back then. But I want to tell you, now we're under the period of grace. And somebody needs to be thanking God, because there'd be a whole lot more room in churches. There'd be a whole lot of crispy critters. You see? He's not imputing sin against us. It was put on Jesus. But I want to make an announcement. Negative attitude, murmuring and complaining still cost us. We're still dying from it. It's just God not the one doing it. We killing ourselves because of it. All right, because I want to tell you, even though Jesus is not imputing sin against us, there's a law that's still in effect on this earth. We reap what we sow. And I want to tell you, when you sow negative, unbelieving, disturbing speech and attitude, guess what you reap? When you sow those words, you get them in a bigger plate and you eat it later. Well, isn't that healthy? And so I'm telling you, it still has effect on us, but we killing ourselves because we reap what we sow. I didn't get very many loud amens on this, so I'm going to back up and run back by it again. And I have a way of making it simpler and plainer. And it goes something like this. Bad people don't go to hell because they're bad. Good people don't go to heaven because they're good. Now that I have your attention, you see, we're all bad because of sin, the infection of sin that came from Adam. We're all bad. But I want to tell you what happens. People that reject Christ, the Lamb of God, go to hell. Amen. They go to hell because they reject Christ. Bad people that go to heaven because they receive Christ and they're forgiven. It's forgiven people that go to heaven. Now, he's paid the price for everybody to be forgiven, but only those that receive it get to go. Amen. When you receive his son, he receives you. Amen. When you reject his son, he rejects you. Okay. Well, amen, Brother Tim. All right, well, let's look at some more. And Moses said to Aaron, take a censer, which you would call it a smoker, and put fire in it from off the altar and lay incense on it. You know, it's the smell good stuff. And carry it quickly to the congregation and make atonement for them. You see, he's going to send up the offering, the prayers, the offering, the atonement for those that are sinners that are dying. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague has begun. So Aaron took the burning censer as Moses commanded. And get this now. Can you picture this in your mind? This would make great movie. He ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And you can see the wave of the plague coming and killing people. And he put on incense and he ran ahead of the plague, in between the plague and the people. And he stood there and he put on the incense and he made atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stopped. Wow. That is your high priest. Amen. And that's what Jesus has done with his blood. And he even takes our prayers and he makes them effective. That's what a high priest does. Now, I know sometimes we feel like when we pray that it bounces off the ceiling or it doesn't even get above our head. But listen at this. When Aaron was a high priest and the people were complaining about God, judgment came. They were dying like flies. Moses sent them out, and that sweet perfume of burning incense proclaims to God, listen at this, the beauty of his son. Remember, New Testament says we're a sweet smelling offering before the Lord. And immediately the judgment stops. And I want you to see Aaron standing with incense going up, living between the living and the dead. So we're in Christ today. We're the sweet aroma of Christ. The prayers, our prayers are received. Now, sometimes we pray amiss. Sometimes we don't even know how to pray. There's been times that my prayers were more like groaning and moaning, sound like a dinosaur or a bull dying. Right. Yeah. But you know what? Because we have a high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses, he understands that moaning and groaning language. And you know what he does? He interprets it before God. And because he knows the God language, he takes our human language, makes it God language, and he hits the mark. Somebody say amen. Amen. He's greater than Aaron, and he knows how to do this. As your high priest is, so are you in this world. The enemy wants you to focus on yourself. It's introspection, and it's dangerous. When you're majoring on your feelings, when you're majoring on your emotions and your fears, I want to tell you, it's depressing. Self is painful. The Holy Spirit and a holy inspired sermon, a Holy Spirit inspired sermon, will point you away from yourself and point to Christ. That's one of the ways that you know what you need to be listening to. Right. Does it point you to Christ? Or does it point you to yourself? Or does it point you to a man? Because the Holy Spirit is not here to honor any man. He's not here to honor any denomination. He's here to honor Jesus. That's real clear in the Bible. As goes the priest, so goes the nation. Our position with God is based on our high priest. What's his name? Jesus. Our high priest is compassionate. Our high priest is continually accepted before God eternally. Hey, so are we. Because he is, so are we. When Jesus was raised from the dead, Father declared, your throne is forever after the order of Melchizedek. The priest of all of Levi, they all died, every one. But Jesus is the priest after Melchizedek, and he lives forever. He lives forever. And so forever, you're always accepted before God because Jesus is. As long as Jesus is at the right hand of the Father there at the throne, you're accepted forever. You cannot lose it because he's got it. That ought to help somebody. You cannot undo what you didn't work up. You are eternal. You are secure because he's eternal and he's secure. John 10:28, I give them eternal life and they shall never lose it or perish throughout the ages. To all eternity they shall never by any means be destroyed, and no one is able to snatch them out of my hand. Amen. You say no one, but what about myself? Not even yourself. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, not even your own foolishness. And we can be foolish. I'm telling you, we can get so twisted up like a termite in a yo-yo, and we can act like we've never heard them. But our security is not based on our works or performance. Your works and performance didn't get you there. Your works and performance can't steal it away. It's on Jesus. Aren't you glad, man? That ought to be a shout in the house from somebody. You can't jump out of his hands. His Father's got his hands. It's a beautiful picture. John 3:16, for God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world. even before Jesus came, that he gave up his only begotten son so that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, relies on him shall not perish, come to destruction and be lost, but have eternal, somebody say everlasting life. Well, guess what? When God says something, he means that everlasting life is everlasting. It cannot be taken away. His blood is eternal. We're righteous by grace, not by works. You didn't gain it by works. You can't lose it by works. That ought to be on a sign somewhere. Aaron was the first high priest chosen by God. You may wonder, well, what's the deal here? Why wasn't Moses the high priest? Well, I've already told you, but I want to make it clear. Moses, when he was just 3 months old, he was taken in by Pharaoh's family. And you know what? He grew up in the palace. And you know what? It was the richest nation on earth. He received the best care, the best food, the best lodging, the best care. Hey, you know what? He got the best education. You know what? He had the best of the best that this world had to offer. That was Moses. Where was Aaron, the first high priest? Was he in the palace? No. You know where he was? Listen to this. He was suffering with the people.
Right.
Everything they went through, he was going through. He heard and offered the same moaning and groaning that they offered. He was suffering. In order to be a high priest, you got to suffer with the people. That's what Jesus did. He came to earth, even though he was God, and he took on the form of man to operate like man, even though he was God. He was born an infant. He grew up as a teenager. You think as a teenager you got problems? Jesus had them too. Okay? You think you got parents that don't understand? His parents didn't understand. He qualified as our high priest. And that's why that the Bible says we have a great high priest who sympathizes with our weakness, our frailties, our sufferings, our mistakes, our hurts, our pains. Hey, he can be touched by what you're going through. Let me make it clear and plain. Jesus, our high priest, as a man and as God, but as a man, he knows what you're going through. Amen. And Brother Tim, but I get so lonely and because I've been so hurt. I want to tell you, our high priest has been there. Well, Brother Tim, Jesus was never divorced. You know, let me tell you something. Hey, the crime of divorce is rejection. There's so much hurt and wound that comes from rejection. And I want to tell you, Jesus experienced rejection. As a matter of fact, this is what the Bible says, even prophesied it. The one I trusted, the one I worshiped with, betrayed me with a kiss. Hey, Jesus had tears. And in the Bible, there's different descriptions of tears, just like you know them. One of the descriptions is a strong sobbing, crying loudly. And the wording describes Jesus did that. Another description of tears is like silent tears coming out. And you know what? It describes Jesus doing that. Jesus cried too. In Gethsemane, there was both in Gethsemane, loud crying and silent tears. And I want to tell you, listen to this. He wept in order to be in a position to dry your tears. Very personal to him. At the Father's right hand, God on the throne, the King of Kings, is touched by your weaknesses and your troubles because he's your high priest. We have representation. Jesus talks God language because he's God. He talks human language because he's man. You get it? And so hallelujah to our high priest. He's not a God that doesn't identify with you. He's a God that's touched by you, and he knows what you're going through. And so our part is to submit and to surrender and to pray and to seek him. And he translates our prayers into the God language. And we have not because we ask not. People need to ask. He wants us to ask. He commands us to ask. And he's a miracle working God. We don't have to stay where we are because of who he is. He's our victory. He leads us into triumph. He's a miracle-working God. And with God, all things are possible. And let the saints say amen. And so we have communion with our high priest. Now let's go back to Genesis 14 and let's take a little peek at this since we recognize Melchizedek. Let's take a little look at this and see it afresh. Genesis 14 verse 18 says this, Melchizedek, king of Salem, later called Jerusalem, the king of Jerusalem, he brought out bread and wine. Now, isn't that beautiful? I want to tell you, I've talked to you over and over again that whenever something's mentioned for the first time in Scripture, you need to circle it, put stars around it. You need to take a good look at it because God's saying something big. And so here it is. Jesus shows up to Abraham after this battle and he brings communion. You recognize it? Oh, come on now. We've had five or six sermons on communion. Surely you recognize when you see bread and wine what's happening. Amen. He brings communion. And it's right for him to do it because he's the priest of the God Most High. Amen. And this is what Jesus did. He blessed him. And he said this, blessed, favored with blessings, to the point of being blissful and joyful, be Abraham by God Most High. I'm here blessing you with the blessing of God, the possessor of maker of heaven and earth. He represents, he is of God himself. And verse 20, look at this. And blessed, praised and glorified be the God Most High. Do you see that he's the high priest between God and man? And so here he is blessing Abraham. And at the same time, this is blessing Father. And so here he is, the high priest. He's blessing Abraham from God. And he's also blessing God from Abraham. Come on! That's our high priest in action. He has given you your foes into your hand, and this blesses God. Your victory blesses God. Amen. Wow. And Abraham worshiped him with the tenth, the tithe. You say, well, Brother Tim, he had to do it. No, he didn't. No, this was not, law was not even in effect. The law had not even been given. It was not even a law or practice of the 10%. Hey, he did this as an expression of his heart to worship God. And he worshiped him. In this scriptures, we see communion from the high priest himself. Hey, Hebrews 7:17 says this, for it is witnessed of him, a big letter H for him, speaking of Jesus. It is witnessed of him. You are a priest forever, and of the order of the rank of Melchizedek. You are him. Now, this is what the Bible says, that our Lord Jesus is a priest forever. Now, I know I've told you this already, but scholars, a lot of scholars believe this is the pre-incarnate appearance of Christ himself. Well, I park there. I think there's way too much evidence not to. You're not going to be wrong believing that Jesus is Melchizedek. Now, if you get offended or hurt, don't stay there. You can back up and just say, well, it's a type. And you can enjoy that as a type. But I want to tell you, hey, he's the real. And he's the substance. He's the actual. He's not the picture. The Bible says he lives forever, that there's no beginning and no ending with him. Amen. And I want to tell you, he came. Hey, the high priest from the New Testament grace and manifested in the old. And I want to tell you, he'll do that for anybody that says faith, yes to him. That's our faith, saying yes to him. And it's already been paid for by grace. So, he's the king of righteousness. That says who he is. He's the king of peace. He says who he is. He was the king of Solomon, which means peace, but it means much more than peace. And I'm going to share with you soon a little study I did on Shalom peace, and it's just absolutely blown me away, touched me, I can't get over it, but it means so much more than no conflict. It means complete. It means safe. It means perfect. It means whole. It means full. Do you see? So, here it is. And I've got just a few minutes, so I want you to stay with me on this. King Melchizedek met Abram in the Valley of Shaveh. It's called the King's Valley. This was after the battle. You see, these five kings came against four kings. And there was a rebellion in the land. And so it was a big war, five kings, four kings. In the process of all this, The king of Sodom was overrun. The king of Gomorrah was overrun and other kings. But in the process of this, Abraham's nephew Lot was stolen, was taken, kidnapped, and his family and all his belongings. And they were caught up in this war. Abraham wasn't in it. But it's a big war between five kings and four kings. And so what happens here is that, Abraham finds out, gets word that his nephew's been taken, and he takes 318 security personnel in his own tribe, in his own place, 318, against a number of kings and their armies, and he goes out and rescues Lot, defeats those five armies, rescues Lot, brings back all the spoils, and rescues the people. And so that's an amazing favor of God. And so what happens when he gets back? The king of Sodom, in verse 17, goes out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's valley. And it's also known as the Kidron Valley. That may sound more familiar to you. Kedar means darkness. Dark valley. Anybody been through a dark valley? Okay, let this speak to you. And so here's Jesus himself, the king of righteousness, the king of peace, the high priest. He comes, and he wasn't the only person to meet with Abram in the valley of darkness. There was someone else. It was the king of Sodom. His name is Barah. The king of Sodom also went to meet with Abram, and he got there before the king Jesus did. And so guess what? Now, this is in Genesis 14 too, but I'm telling you this. Barah's name in Hebrew, you want to know the name? I'm telling you, it's a message in this. Barah, the king of Sodom, his name means son of evil. So here's the son of evil coming to Abram in the valley of darkness. I'm telling you this story because you will find yourself in a place of darkness, but your Lord Jesus comes to you with a table in the very presence of your enemies. And he brings communion in the presence of your enemies. I'm saying this to you because there are people all over, Christians, all over, who are waiting on a vaccine to erase their enemies. A vaccine is not going to make your enemies absent. Thank God for vaccines. They're safe. Millions and millions of lives. Medical science is not an enemy. It's a friend to God. But it's not your savior. You can't look at medical science as your savior. Hey, here's a question. Who do you trust? Let the shepherd lead you. The shepherd can't lead you if you're not following him. We've got people all over that have put their lives in park waiting on a vaccine so that they can resume a normal life. I want to tell you that Jesus life is available right now. And now's the time. Hey, now's the time to prepare our heart for the coming season. 2021 is coming. Do not be like Rehoboam, King David's grandson, Solomon's son. When it came time for him to be on the throne, the Bible's real clear that Rehoboam did not prepare his heart. This is the season to prepare your heart. Stop putting yourself on the wait list and get on the preparation list. Prepare your heart now, because this is what the Bible says about Rehoboam. He didn't prepare his heart, and he did evil. I'm telling you, if you don't prepare your heart, you can miss. Right. Even though Jesus has paid for victory, even though he's paid for peace and joy and love, hey, even though he's paid for hope, more than what we can even contain, I want to tell you, you can miss out on all of it if your heart's not centered in seeking him. Practice receiving from him personally. It's not something we do. It's by grace we receive. Are you in a dark valley? You're not alone. Hey, get revelation from him. See Jesus. Seek Jesus till you see him. And he'll show you that the peace, the King of peace himself, is with you. The King of completeness, safety, and wholeness is with you. And he's brought bread and wine for you, because he comes to refresh you and to restore you and minister his shalom peace to you. Abraham was in a valley immediately after he secured a great victory. I want to announce to you that that's a pattern. If the enemy can't keep you from fighting, he'll try to keep you from victory. If he can't keep you from victory, he'll try to come after victory to steal it. Is anyone listening? I see I don't have time to preach on this because my time's up, so I've just got to say it and hope it catches. But don't let your blessing become a curse. Hey, I've been at this for a number of decades. How many times over the decades have I heard people come up, "Brother Tim, the Lord's blessed us with a boat. We'll praise God." And the blessing becomes a curse because it keeps them from church. Their heart becomes dull. Huh? I know. Think of a family right now. The Lord blessed them with motorcycles. "Well, Brother Tim, it's an opportunity for us to be together as a family." Well, it kept the whole family away from church. Their hearts grew cold on God. And I want to tell you, the testimony of that family is heartache and heartbreak. Am I making this up? No. I'm telling you, there's so many examples of this. But don't let your blessing become a curse. Be advised, many times, and this is the pattern, many times the enemy will offer his best before Jesus offers his best. Don't compromise. Don't eat the cheese. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Jesus is coming with bread and wine. Our dependence of our blessing and future success is on Jesus and Jesus alone, not the world. So see yourself receiving communion, the bread and wine from your high priest, Jesus himself. You're not alone. He's with you. Hold his hand. Keep your eyes on him. Hey, your loving, very present shepherd will lead you through the darkened valley, not just to it, through it, into a peaceful pasture. Amen. Is that great news? Well, we're praying for you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, we just speak that your life will invade and touch those who are in a dark valley right now. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've promised to be a very present help and that you are actually chasing us down with loving kindness and with mercy, that your goodness prevails. And you want to chase us down with your unfailing love. And I just pray in the name of Jesus that our hearts will turn to you and call upon you. Let us call upon the name of the Lord and receive that he is our high priest, standing in our behalf, ready to minister to us and for us unto Father. And Lord, we give you praise in Jesus' name. And all the saints said, amen, 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 and amen. Thank